And it's not ironic that they asked me to check us during this meeting, right? Because God always give you what you need. And like I said, part of overcoming old behavior is to respect narcotics numbers and respect the meetings. If you have to subgroup, please, I'm going to ask you kindly to go outside the doors because somebody in here needs to save their lives. And we are supposed to lead by example. And we are supposed to be power of attractions. So let's act like it, right? And the first speaker is, let me see. I should say Delores because she real nervous, but I ain't going to put her on display like that, right? So Dave said he can handle his business, y'all. He ain't nervous, right? So I'm going to let Dave handle his business. Come on up here, Dave, and let him know how to overcome old behavior.
Hi, my name is Dave, and I'm an addict. All right, now I'm nervous. What they tell me in public speaking class in high school, that there's a few classes I went to, was to imagine you all naked, and that would make me more comfortable. So if all the women could move to the front, I think that would help me quite a bit. That's one old behavior I've yet to overcome. But I'm working on it. There's hope. You know, I think I haven't had a drug since December 10th, 1988. And I take no credit for that. Any clapping that's done in this area needs to be done for Narcotics Anonymous. Because left to my own devices, I will self-destruct in very short order. I used drugs a lot. Every chance I got, as hard and often as I could. And I had complete disrespect and lack of concern for anybody other than myself for 32 years before I got here. And at first I was a little taken aback when they even asked me if I would want to share at this place, and when they told me what the topic was, it just reconfirmed what I already knew, and that's that God knows what's going on way better than I do. You know, I was an addict way before I picked up a drug. I was talking with somebody today. I was thinking about this last night, and I was talking with somebody out front. I don't know if you all ever did this when you were kids, but did you ever spin around when you were a kid until you got so dizzy? And then you lay on the ground, and you look up, and everything's moving around. You know, and like the kids in my neighborhood would do it for maybe 15 or 20 minutes. They'd all get tired, and they'd go do something else. And I'd be out there spinning until the streetlights came on, you know? And spinning so hard that until my feet would give out. You know, and as soon as I didn't wait for it to stop. As soon as it started slowing down, I'd jump back up and start spinning until my parents had to pull me in the house. You know? So there's an indication there that anything that felt good or that I liked doing, I would do in excess. And I came from a kind of a neighborhood where you either got taken from or you took from. And there was no place for sissies or punks or people with feelings or people who cried or people who cared. And so it was an easy choice to me because I wasn't going to have my stuff taken. So I became a bully, and I come from there's a lot of abuse in my background, physical and emotional. And sexual. The sexual abuse was by an older cousin, female cousin at the time. I really didn't mind that. But as my therapist pointed out later in life, it did have an effect on me, as everything did. And I pushed all this stuff way down, way down. And I mention that because I have found that that is a very crucial part of my old behavior. And if I can't understand my old behavior, I can't correct it. You know, it's not just as easy as saying, God, remove this from me. You know, asking God to remove. My defects of character are strongly rooted, strong roots of my old behavior. You know, and when I loved it when I heard, if you're still doing it, it's not old behavior. Well, that kind of excuses it. You know what I mean? So I just keep doing it. And the old behaviors that I brought in here with me, when I first got clean, I worked the steps, and the pain went away, and the obsession to use was lifted, and everything was okay. And I felt that I didn't have to work anymore. There was no need for me to continue to work because I was okay. I was in no danger of getting high. And as long as I didn't get high, I had hope to be better one day. And so I took that and I ran with it, you know. I ran with it real hard. And I figured as long as I'm not hurting anybody else, and I'm not getting high, and I'm not breaking the law, then everything is okay. So some of my old behaviors that I have, my biggest is dishonesty. And that is like the core of all my old behavior because I don't want to get honest with myself, you see. I don't want to look inside. And not only was I abused as a child, but I did some abuse. And I carry a lot of guilt and a lot of shame about that. And I went to my sister and I tried to do a 9-step thing and she said, that's not yours. You can't have it. And the old behavior that I engage in, I do it because I don't like myself. And it reinforces all of that. I don't deserve and I'm not good enough. And there's something very, very wrong with me. I had it drummed into my head as a small child that I would never amount to anything. And the thing I remember hearing the most is you ruin everything for everybody. So my thing has always been, I will ruin everything right up front. Let's get it out of the way. So when I came in recovery and I wasn't feeling like getting high all the time, I still didn't want people to get close to me. So what I would do is aberrant behavior and act like a complete ass so that you would judge me early on as an ass. And I was okay with that, okay? Because then you wouldn't like come around and like me, and then I wouldn't have to like you back. Because in order to like you back or love you, I got to love myself. And that was out of question. That just is not going to happen. So I lie a lot, you know, when I got in here. I started telling the truth, and everything got better. And then I told the truth on an insurance form, and I got turned down. So I went to somebody who had not used drugs for quite a while. And I told them about this. And they said, well, you don't have to tell the truth all the time. I said, what? He said, you don't have to tell the truth all the time. Go back, fill the form out, tell them you never did drugs. Because I asked the guy from the insurance place, did it ever occur to you the only person who would answer yes to this is somebody who doesn't do them anymore? And he said, well, regardless, the policy is. So I took that and I ran with that. I figured it's okay to lie. And that I reached a point with that where I would go to meetings and I would be proud about sharing how I'm dishonest. With 13 years clean, I still lie. Like I'm being real. You know, what I am, I'm a liar. If I'm lying, I'm a liar. You know, another old behavior that I engaged in for quite some time, and this was very hard for me to get honest with, but I did recently on a 4-step, was that I like to help young ladies get the program. Because I had the tool of recovery, and we're going to have to work the steps with the tool of recovery. And the real deal is I was a sexual predator, okay? And I'm not proud of that today. And I lied to myself, saying, hey, I've been around for a few years. I know all the gals and all the meetings. If anything was going to click, you know, I talked myself in. I lie to myself so good. And it's because I'm dumb enough to believe all the BS that I would try and run on myself. You know, if I try and run this BS on my friends, they kind of look at me funny and go, Dave, what are you talking about? You know, because they love me. They love me even though I don't love myself. And so that's I came to believe that the core of my old behavior was my inability to be honest with myself, and that's tied with my inability to love myself. And I can't love anybody else, they tell me, until I love myself. And I came in here with a lot of rage and hatred, and I carried that around for a long time. And I used that rage and that hatred to push people away, to keep you at bay. I don't want you to like me, okay? There's nothing here to like. Just go away. This last 4-step that I've done was my third 4-step, and I did it in a different circumstance. This was not at the end of a relationship. Because when I did those four steps, it was just like finding out, I don't know what it was about. It was trying to feel better about a relationship that failed and find out why. And none of them but this last one got me to the core of why these relationships fail. And it's because I don't love myself. You know, I spent all my life blaming myself and feeling like something was really, really wrong with me. You know, that I was the only one that had these thoughts. I was the only one who ever abused another human being. You know, I felt unique. But mostly, I just felt unlovable. And recently, doing this four step and doing a lot of praying and stuff, I had what was, I guess, would be termed an awakening of the spirit, like I haven't experienced except from in my early days of recovery when I first came around. And I have something inside of me now. I can feel God's grace. And God has told me in no uncertain terms that He loves me. Actually, when I heard the voice, it was a woman's voice. I don't know the Freudian side of that, but that's the truth, you know? That's the truth. I felt a radiant thing and it whispered, and it said, I love you, and it's okay. And I never have to be alone when I walk in God's grace. And I like myself today, and that's a start on learning to love myself. And when I love myself, you know, I love my daughter, and I wouldn't let her do things that put her at jeopardy. And maybe when I learn to love myself, I won't let myself do things to myself that put me at jeopardy. You know, I won't tell myself the lies. Maybe I won't believe the lies. I don't know. But I thought for a long time that as long as I didn't hurt anybody with my lying and 13 stepping, because the vast majority of the women that I 13 step are clean today, like I got something to do with that. You know what I mean? Those women are clean in spite of having an interaction with me. And I honestly believe that. Not because they interacted with me. And that was, again, based on low self-esteem and lack of love. And I prayed on people who were spiritually weak, you know. When I came in here, all I wanted, I had a big empty hole in me. I felt hopeless. And I thought I would die out in the street somewhere, 62 years old, renting a room. You know, I figured 30 years from now, I'm going to die and nobody's going to care. And from the time I was in fourth grade, I remember sitting on the back stoop. That's a porch for you young people. And I remember telling myself that I would never need my family. They were nothing but embarrassment. They didn't understand me. Okay, they abused me. And I would never need another human being, okay, because they were nothing but in my way. And from this day in fourth grade, I will get and do only as I please. And I will never need another human being. And I ran with that until I was 32 and I came in here. And I took it to a certain level that I need human beings around me. But I refused to let somebody all the way in. And I was thinking this morning, I was talking with somebody actually, and the truth came out that there are two people in 13 years that I trust implicitly that I met in these rooms. That's not a good ratio because I met a lot of people. There's a lot of good people in here, but I won't let them in. You know, I can't talk enough about having a sponsor. One reason I can't talk enough about it is because I haven't done it enough, which is why my old behavior of lying and hurting and lusting and all of that, all my character defects, letting them run my life, I keep all that a secret because I don't come into the meetings and share about going to the titty bars, and I don't come into the meetings and share about praying on a newcomer. I occasionally, when things get bad enough, I come into a meeting and shared that I spit at another human being because he went through the stop sign out of turn. Oh, yes, he did. Did he not see me at my stop sign and know who I was? Or that I, and I, you know why I spit at him? Because he wouldn't get out of the, he wouldn't get out of the car and fight me like a man. Yeah. Yeah, like a man in recovery, he wouldn't fight me. You know, so I will come in and tell on myself to a certain degree, but I never will come in and tell the truth about how I feel and how I see myself. And that hole that I came in here with, they told me a long time ago that they had something up in here that would fill that hole and it would fit perfectly, you know, and it's the God hole. And I learned all to speak. When I got here, I read the book and I'd spit it back up in meetings and I'd wait for people to share and then I'd share because I'm going to help the poor suffering bastards. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. I read the book. I know it. And I got very, very good at taking all the little sayings and twisting them up to fit my behavior, to defend my behavior. What I didn't do is get a sponsor and tell them everything. I've had different sponsors, and they say if you're not calling them, you don't have them. And I thought that was true, except for this last sponsor, because he will not deny me my pain. And back in January, my lying had led me with 13 years clean, with 13 years without a drug, let me put it that way, to having lied to the IRS so that they wouldn't take any of my precious money. Okay? Well, I thought we had worked through this, Dave. Well, obviously we hadn't. And I was spiritually adrift. And so the IRS, God, in his infinite wisdom, had a way to put me in check. So the IRS came knocking, and they said, we'd like to look at 2000, year 2000. Well, I lied a lot, and they found out. And I didn't know what to do. And when I am in turmoil is when I do work the steps hard. And it's when I do call a sponsor and start telling them everything. And I go to meetings and share, you know what I mean? Because my short list now is to use or to commit suicide or to go to a meeting and share. You know what takes the least amount of courage and work? Go to a meeting and share. It's what I know how to do. It's safe. It keeps everything else where it should be. So I went to meetings, I started sharing, and in January, my sponsor called me up, and he didn't call me up and say, hey, I'm here for you if you need me. He called me up and said, I heard what's going on with you. And maybe you don't know this, but this is some serious stuff, that you are okay with being this dishonest for as long as you've been coming around. He said, something is not right. We need to do some work. And this guy's been my sponsor off and on for 6 years. And he never has yet to push me into a step. He has suggested a couple times. And this time I knew right where he was going. I said, I guess we're going to do like a four-step thing here. He's like, yep. That sounds good to me. Meet me Saturday at this meeting. Bring $9. We're going to get a step guide. I knew I was screwed. Okay, because the other four steps, I call him up and say, he'd say, you want to do a four step? No. Okay, I will. He said, all right, start writing. So I'd write. And then I'd give it to him and do it, you know, and that was that. And it wasn't until this last one where I had to answer questions. You see, because left, if I got to make the questions up, I make them up real easy. Yeah. What don't you like? The color blue. You know what I mean? Who do you resent? Them nuns that beat me with a ruler. You know? I don't want to get into the fact that I resent myself. You know what I mean? I resent myself. And this is the twisted part. I resent myself for not loving myself enough to stop me from repeating old behavior, which reinforces to me what a piece of crap I am. Because on a very gut level, that's how I view myself. And God, and when I very first came around here, they used to talk about it all the time. They said, God don't make any crap. Okay, everything God makes is beautiful, and man can trash it. So on some level, I'm not a piece of crap. I'm a child of God. And he has talked to me and told me that he loves me and that I can walk in his grace if I so choose. If I so choose. And mood follows action. That's what it tells me in a basic text. You know, I can sit around and think about how I need to do this and how I need to do that. But when I carry my narrow ass up out of a chair and to a meeting, and when I call my sponsor and I tell him everything, you know, it has no good to have a sponsor and call him up and say, everything's okay, I'll talk to you next week. You know what I mean? Who I damaged with all my old behavior is me. Okay? And I thank God that I'm an addict. I really do. Because if I weren't an addict, I wouldn't be eligible for this program. Okay? Now, I don't know that I am an addict because of my childhood. Because there are people, like I said, I started spinning when I was like 4 or 5, way before the abuse started. You know what I mean? The abuse has something to do with who I am and maybe why I don't love myself. But the answers are in this program. And it's in the 4th, 5th step, the 6th and 7th step, in the healing steps. You know, and for a long time, I came around here and I worked the first 3 or 4 steps and the pain would go away and I'd slow down. And I'll tell you this, I got a few minutes left, and this is like the most humbling thing for me to have to stand here and tell people is that I haven't had a drug since 1988. I've never worked past the 6th step because the pain would subside. And the pain has gotten so great in this last year that I gave up living. I was waiting to die. All I wanted, my daughter's pregnant and engaged. I wanted to see her get married and see my grandchild. And you know what? I didn't care if I died at that point. And that's sad. I didn't get clean for that. You know what I mean? But my spirit was dead. What I need is an awakening of the spirit. And I need to maintain that by continuing to walk in God's grace. Thanks for letting me share.
I'm Linda and I'm an addict. And before I introduce the next speaker, I have to say this right. Narcotics Anonymous gave us our life. And it's fine that you are so like that, that you have cell phones and pagers. But it is not fine when you disrespect yourself, first of all. And Narcotics Anonymous, they have enough gall to talk on a cell phone while you're in the meeting. You are not like that for real, right? You need to turn those phones off. Put those pages off. Because if it wasn't for Narcotics Anonymous, you wouldn't have none of that. And for real, you wasn't like that before you got here. You're not like that now. All of us got cell phones and pages. So get with the program. Respect the meetings. Respect the program that gave your life, right? Because I was getting some real big feelings up here. All these phones and pages. Come on now. Come on now. Overcome that old behavior. What you come here for? And the next speaker is, and I'm not powerless because I'm an informed member of Narcotics Anonymous for 18 years, and if it's to be, it's up to me, right? And my sponsor told me that. So if you say I'm powerless, you need to call your sponsor and find out how much power you have, okay? Delores is the next speaker. She's a sister that's been here around, right, to give me a lot of hope and a lot of courage, right? You know, when I found out that she was the 2nd speaker, you know, I just want to tell her that I love her and I admire her. And if she can do it, so can I. With that, I give you the Lord.
Hi, family. My name is Dolores and I'm a recovering addict. And I need to thank God for waking me up and blowing breath in my body and giving me another chance at life. I am crying already. I thought I was close enough. Can everybody hear me? I really have a loud mouth, and I know my voice is going to carry after a while. Thank you. I'm getting ready to cause some confusion in this meeting for a minute. And I just like to ask you that after whatever we do, is that you sit back down and take your seats and let's not just get carried away. And what I like to ask is that you get up and hug someone within your area that you haven't hugged. The Lord's recovering addict. See, I knew I was going to shake the meeting up, and we don't know how to hug one person. One is too many, a thousand never enough. I don't know about anybody else, but when I got to this program, I was not getting a lot of hugs. Okay, and I didn't come from a family that did a lot of hugging. But today I love to hug. I need to thank the committee for taking a chance and asking me to come up here and share my experience, strength, and hope. And if it wasn't for you people in Narcotics Anonymous who loved me enough to learn to love myself, I wouldn't know how to change no old behaviors. I had to get in touch with old behavior was before I could do anything. I was like, old behavior, overcoming old. Somebody asked me what my topic was. I said, overwhelming behaviors. They was like, what? That's because I was overwhelmed at the time. Couldn't remember what the topic was, but I know that it was through you people that I am who I am today. I am still in the process of growing and learning to love myself. But guess what? I've learned enough to change some old behaviors where I don't remain the same person that came up in here. Because when I got here, y'all, I had low self-esteem, Lord, in a footprint, couldn't stand for nothing, didn't know what I wanted, who I wanted, or who I was. Today, I know who I am. And I know some things about me, and I know some things about my behavior that I didn't like, that I don't like. I still have some traits about myself that I don't like. I don't know about anyone else, but when I got here, at the end of my addiction, I had syphilis in the second degree, sores on my feet, sores on my body, and a sore between my legs so bad I could hardly sit down. I had a prescription in my pocket and I couldn't get it filled. I had a prescription in my pocket. I said, one more hit, it'll be all right. I said, one more hit, it might disappear. One more hit, I don't know. I just needed one more because I couldn't face and deal with reality, y'all. I couldn't deal with it. All I know is I wanted to use. And I didn't take no baths, nothing. Today I ain't living like that. You better believe I got up and took a shower this morning, put on some perfume and some more stuff. You know? I don't know. I wasn't a functioning addict. I wasn't a functioning addict. I couldn't work, y'all. I could not work. I had to use. I used to live and lived to use. That was the bottom line. Wherever I used, I fell out. Wherever I laid. I'm originally from California. I got here in Washington, D.C. because I was stationed at Walter Reed Army Medical Center. I got out the Army on the honorable under general conditions. I just became a bum on the streets. And I never forget saying, God, how did I get here? What happened? Is this my destiny of life? Is this what I'm supposed to be? An addict, homeless, helpless, and hopeless? That's what I was when I got here, y'all. I'm telling this you people, when I got here and I came to a meeting and I saw you and you looked so good and the women sound so good and they were talking about all these things that they had done and they had changed, you know, felonies and some tricking and some more stuff. Because I don't know about anyone else in here, but I did what I had to do to get what I had to get. You know, I remember my first trick. I didn't know how to trick because somebody else got paid for my booty. I'm not living like that today, y'all. I'm just not living like that. And when I got here, I thought, you know how empty you are inside, right? I thought that maybe because you men look so good and you were giving me such great compliments, you know. You told me I look nice and I smell good and all that. And you were whispering all kinds of stuff in my ear. And I said, ooh, I was eating it up. It felt good and it sounded, whatever you told me, it sounded good. I can't remember some of the stuff you told me. And I was feeling like I was feeling because I was worthless. I said, ooh, God, this is all right. Only to find out that I was trying to fill a void with inside of myself. Trying to fill a hole with somebody else and something else. It didn't make no difference. And I thought that if I did it real good, it'd be all right and you'd be mine. Because, see, I knew nothing about developing and having a wholesome, healthy relationship. I knew nothing about any of that. All I know is I lay down, give you some, and you mine. You mine. And I'm yours. Do what you want to do. If I swing from chandeliers and some more stuff, you'll do whatever I want. And I used to hear these women talk about these men that were giving them money. I said, well, dang, I don't get nobody like that. I said, well, what you do? They had some type of relationship. I guess they had some type of communication, but I didn't understand. How did you get the money? I wanted some money, too. I didn't just want mine. I wanted him to spend his money on me. I wanted him to treat me a certain way. I wanted him to respect me in the morning. Man, so I got here and I began to do all that stuff. And the women, you know, it was women like Linda, you know, that were here when I got here. And some more women, you know, that were sitting in here telling the truth. You know, expressing their feelings, and they were being honest about it and open. And I was like, good God, you know. And I was, you know, I don't know about anyone. When I got here, I was like, oh my God. I was glad because I was like, I liked group therapy and psychotherapy, and I like things like that. So I was like, oh wow, this is a big group, you know. We all get to share and talk. And then, because I was an out of control runaway child. I ran away from home at a very early age from 7th grade until I was 17. They took me away from my family and made me a ward of the court because I was just that out of control. We went to Germany. I ran away from home. So I was very, very wild. I did what I wanted, when I wanted, how I wanted, didn't care about the consequences and didn't care about anybody else. So I did all that stuff. That's what I brought up in here with me, running. Because I mean, how can you learn how to develop a relationship with anyone, family or anyone, when you're running? Today, I'm not running. I'm trying to learn how to sit still and deal with some things. And that came from taking a look at my behavior. You know, doing, he was talking about the fourth step, doing some work and seeing some, my promiscuous behavior. Well, why are you so promiscuous? You know, why are you in relationships and you staying? You saying that he's emotionally unavailable. But I still stick there and I stay. Why? Because I needed to ask myself some questions. Well, why are you staying there? Does he pay some attention sometime? And I just wanted somebody to want me, and I thought I could change someone. I was powerless. You know how you think that you can change someone? If you just say this and you tell them these things, you know that if you talk to them, that tomorrow or next week, they're going to change. You know, we're going to have a conversation, and we're going to talk about some things. And I know they're going to change. Because I'm in recovery, and I'm changing. But everybody changes at their own time. In their time when they get ready, not when you want them to. It's just like I got sick and tired of being sick and tired of being sick and tired of using. It wasn't until I got tired and tired that I became willing to do something different. And that's with my behavior. When I get sick and tired of being sick and tired, I will never forget. Whew. I never forget when I first came and I was introduced to the rooms of Narcotics Anonymous. I was getting ready to celebrate 2 years. And I had been in this relationship, and I thought we had a very good relationship. I thought we had talked about everything. You know how you get here, you think you're so honest, open, and willing, and all that? You know how you fool yourself into believing that this is what I really am until you really truly find out who you are? Well, I found out he was dying of AIDS, but we were no longer together. I don't know if anyone has experienced it, but man, I felt like the end of the world, you know, and I had reservations, you guys. Talk about the second step. Talk about having reservations. And that, I said, well, if I got AIDS, I don't want to live. You know, I don't want to use. I had already put that in my head a long time ago, but I didn't know that. And the bottom line is that when you aren't grounded and you don't have any connections and you don't have anyone that you can talk and share with, I mean talking about some intimate relationships, I'm talking about developing a trusting relationship with a sponsor or some friends or somebody, God, whoever you got to use, if you don't have it, guess what? You're not going to stay around. And I couldn't stay around. So I ended up back out, y'all. I ended up back on the streets. You know, once again, my soul and my spirit was gone. It wasn't so much as all that material stuff that I had gained was gone, but I was like, dang, I don't want to be out here. God, how did I get here again? I don't want to be here. It's only through, oh God, and asking for help and letting them know that I didn't want to be. And I went to thank God for police. They arrested me again. I got locked up. Look, I didn't think I was going to get locked up, y'all. You know how you be out on the streets and you work, you know, if you walk the streets and you was a street walker like I was, and you know, you got your stash. I ain't want to stash my pipe or nothing nowhere. I ain't stash. I might need to use it. Man, I had my stuff down in my panties, tucked away. I thought it was, you know, out of sight. They had no woman police there. They called one. Search me, lock me up. But I was really grateful. You know, let me go back for a minute because I kind of jump back and forth and I don't know why it happens like that, but it does. The guy that was dying of AIDS, I remember I called him and I asked him, did he have AIDS? He told me he didn't. He said, I have cancer, which he did. And he was paralyzed from the waist down and he couldn't leave and he was in the hospital. But he still couldn't get honest about having the virus. And you know how you have something on the inside. And the inside said, you got two voices. One is saying, oh, you don't have it. You know, it's not that. And, you know, he's telling the truth. You know, you got these. And then, you know, there's this other voice that says, you know what, you haven't completed nothing. You know, you're an addict. You know, you've never done anything right. You can't keep a man. You can't get a job. You've been to jail. And all that stuff was going in my head. And the bottom line is that when I got locked up, I got tested. And it's only through his grace and mercy. I know it's only through the grace that I don't have HIV and I don't have AIDS. But hold up, hold up. Ain't no clapping. Wait a minute, y'all. It ain't about clapping because behavior don't change overnight. I'm talking about coming back in here and doing the same old thing over and over, not using protection and not caring and didn't give a damn. I just wanted to feel something. I just wanted to do something. All I know is I needed to be filled with something. Until you get sick and tired and sick and tired of old behavior, you don't do anything different. I got tired. I had to go back to the doctor, but this time, guess what? I didn't use. I had somebody to hold my hand, take me to the clinic so that I could get this rectified. I'm talking about having sex on a regular basis with somebody, still using, not using protection, but he's sleeping with Tom, Dick, Sue, Sally, and some more folks. And I got to keep going to the clinic, and I got to keep getting checked, and I keep getting some for trichomonas, and I got to keep going back. I'm talking about getting embarrassed because I got to keep telling, well, he didn't take his medicine. I don't know what the next lies, but I got to keep going to the doctor. I don't know. People say, why is she sharing about that? Because you know what? It's all part of my life, and I don't know who might be dealing with the same thing. But I know one thing. overcoming old behavior, you got to do something different. It ain't just about sitting up here talking. It ain't just about doing nothing. I can sit and write and talk all I want, but if my behavior don't change, I don't get no help. I'm talking about I got to change. I can't come in here and represent and be in here to impress y'all or whatever. I'm talking about some stuff that I had to go through in order to get better. I'm talking about today I ain't living like that. No, I'm talking about today I got somebody that love me. I mean, I got somebody that love me. But I don't know if you guys, I don't even know why I'm crying. But I'm talking about, a lot of people that know me, and some of the people that know some of the things that I've gone through. You know, I've been in some relationships, and I've tried to make people like me, and I tried to let them love me, and I tried just to stick and stay and hold on like I was married or some most stuff. But I'm talking about today, my behavior has changed to where I have something to give to somebody. I have something to offer. Since I've done some inside work and cleaned up some of them insecurities, because you can't bring all that crazy stuff to a relationship. You can bring a little bit, but you cannot bring all of that stuff. You know, I'm talking about I'm in a relationship with somebody that loves me, respects me, treats me like a queen, opens my doors. I don't open no doors. Y'all, I step to the door and stand. And guess what? He told me that. Because he let me know, you don't open no doors. If I open the door, I'm pissed off, and you know he's correcting me. But I stand at the door and wait for my door to be open today. Feels good. They talking about ladies of the 90s, ladies of the 2000s. I'm about to forget about that. I want a man, a gentleman. And I want someone that has some type of spiritual foundation. I want somebody that's working towards what I'm working towards. That today I wanted was you to do me right and I do you good and we all right. I didn't care if we fuss, fight, argue, or what. But today I'm learning how to sit down and talk and have a conversation. I'm learning how to have a debate, I guess, or a disagreement and not think that they don't like me no more. Or not think that he doesn't want to be with me anymore. Or he might go out and start doing somebody else because I ain't doing him. I got somebody that loves me in spite of myself. That teaches me how to be a better person, that teaches me some humbling things, you know. And I was telling him one day, you know, a couple of people have heard me say, and I said, you know how you be riding along and you looking, what was she looking at? He said, well, if you weren't looking at her, you wouldn't know she was looking at you. He said, all you need to do is say, hi, how you doing? And I used to share about how when you come into the meetings, it ain't about she thinks she cute. That's right. It's not about she thinks she cute. It's not. Because basically it's about you think she cute. Y'all think I'm cute? I ain't never said that. But you know what? I think I'm cute today. And if it weren't for the people of Narcotics Anonymous, the women and the men that have let me know that I am a beautiful person. See, today, I don't need so much attention because I know that I am a beautiful person within myself. You know, I've done some work. And not only that, you're talking about overcoming old behaviors in all areas. You know, I might have given you, but you can change in all areas. I went back to school. You know, I started at McDonald's, and I had been in the Army and had some education, y'all. So I'm talking about old behavior. It's your thinking, your thought process that you have to change. We're talking about how you think and how you feel about yourself. Well, how do you start? Some people say, well, how do you change or how do you do it? Ask some questions. If you don't know, ask somebody. And if you don't really want to know, then you start working and working on some principles. Because today I just don't want to do the wrong thing all the time. You know, there are some things that I still do incorrectly wrong because I'm not doing it the right way. But I find, you know, I do the wrong thing by finding and doing that. I find the appropriate way of dealing with a situation. You know, today sometimes at work is when I'm really working on my old behavior. Really got to change because my attitude can be real funky at work. And I'm talking about being professional. You know how we want to represent and, you know, be professional. And I know I'm professional. But let somebody say something wrong. Let them, and let them catch me on a bad day. You know, because my, you know, some days I work from 5 a.m. to maybe sometimes 7 p.m. in the evening. Well, one day I worked from 5 a.m. to 5 p.m. and I came to the office and it's a Friday and my boss is saying we have to have a meeting. I'd had a rough day with my computer. I had a rough day with the customer. He knew all this. And then to come into the office and try to get all this stuff rectified, and he thinks I'm going to sit up in the office for another 3 hours. I wasn't very professional. I was tired, irritable, and hungry, and some more stuff. And I just, bottom line, just went off. But after I did it, I felt bad. I didn't like the way that I had acted. So what I am trying to do is be a more professional person. Find some acceptance in that I chose the job. So there are some things, and I know what comes with this job because I made a decision and it took me a year to make the decision before I accepted the job. So if I accepted the job, then I need to do some things to make the job more, freedom that it gives me at times. But the bottom line is that my attitude really needs to be checked. So I'm talking about old behavior, and then changing old behavior means that I have to really honestly take a look at myself. I mean, everybody else can look at me and they can give me some suggestions. They can direct me to some things. But guess what? Nothing changes. When nothing changes, nothing changes. Until I do something different, then only then will I be able to change. I'm talking about being a lady and a woman today. It used to be that I had to come in here, and I never forget, it was a guy that told me, I went to a picnic, and I had on the, I always wanted to be a brick house, you know? I just said, damn, my titties ain't big enough, my butt ain't big enough, my waist ain't small enough. And look, you know, be looking at the outside of somebody else's and comparing my insides. God, I wish I was built like that. I want to be like that. You know, a lot of people look at me and say, Lord, you ain't got no problem, huh? But you don't know what I'm suffering with on the inside. You don't know my low self-esteem. You don't know my inadequacies that I feel because of all the things that I have done to myself. So I feel those things. And I say, if I had those, I'd be all right. Or if I had money, I'd be all right. It don't work. You know, wanting to change and be and have something that somebody else has had. So, you know, I wanted to have all this stuff, but God gave me what I needed. And what I'm really talking about is that this is just a shell of a body. If you don't know me, if you haven't spent any time, you may hear me sharing with me, but if you really haven't spent any time with me, then you don't know. It's easier for me to come in here and share a meeting sometimes than to talk to somebody on an individual basis. I thought I had a lot of friends at one time, but I'm finding out I have very, very few friends. I have some folks that my spirit touches and connects, and we touch, and I love them no matter what, but we really haven't spent any time to really talk or to really know who I am as a person. You know, thank God for the ladies I sponsor. Thank God, because those are some of my closest friends today. You know, they're the folks that I can truly sit down and honestly talk to. You know, I just want to share this and, you know, and wind down because I don't know what has happened with, you know, there's nothing wrong with me and my sponsor, just that we haven't been talking a lot. She's busy, I'm busy. You know, your life changes. You begin to get new responsibilities. There are a lot of people at this convention that I haven't seen in a few years, you know, because hopefully in July I'll be celebrating double digits. Man, I don't know about nobody else, but overcome. I am so happy to be clean, y'all. Y'all just don't know. I have 10 years. Yeah. You know, when you had one day, a couple of days, you came up in here and said, dang, I want to have 1 year. I want to raise my hand up. You know, I look forward to coming to the convention to go to the darn banquet so I can stand up on my time. You know, because I'm happy, but it ain't so much about how anyone else feels. You know, a lot of people say time ain't important. Well, my time is. You know?
You know, and I'm just talking about sharing some things, because when I got here, you guys hear me sitting up here talking to stand. I couldn't stand and talk in front of you. I couldn't get up to go to the bathroom. I still can't do it. Sometimes today, if there's a meeting going on, the only way I'm getting up to go to the bathroom and getting some coffee, if I really, really, really cannot hold it. I'd prefer for somebody else to go get me some coffee. And if I can hold it, I'll wait until the meeting is over. Because I still think everybody might look at me. I'm being honest, I really do. So there are some things that I still haven't overcome, you know? But I don't think that's a big, big bad behavior, but there are some things that I still have feelings about, and I just don't like getting up, and I'm still, a lot of people say, well, she's strong and this, but I'm really just a little, I'm not as outspoken as people think I am. I'm more shy. And scared to death. I have been raped 3 times. And when I'm in a crowd, and if I go through a crowd of guys, I might just walk like this. And a lot of people think that I'm not speaking or I'm not saying hi. But I may be, if it's a crowd, I may just be rushing through just to get through so that I can just get through. I don't know if I can just get through, walk through, I'm okay. And then if I see a face I know, I'm like, oh God, home. You know, like there are some people in here, it's just like, thank you, because that calms me. And that's why I had people hug, because what it did was allow me to kind of like relax and be able to share some of my experience, strength, and hope. You know, my mind goes fast, and what I try to do is, you know, ask God to help me, and it just comes out so fast so that I can just say everything. And then when I sit down, guess what? When I finish, I'm going to tell you what's going to happen. It's that my arms are going to start perspiring, and I'm going to say, why did I share all this stuff with them? Because I know that. That's why I took my glasses off, because I can't see anybody's eyes. I can't see your facial expressions or any of that. But I know that when I finish, I'm going to feel so like, God, you know, why? But I know the reason is that I guess I needed to share, huh? And what it does is it allows some folks, me, to connect with some new folks, because that's when I'm going through a change in my life, connecting with new people, changing meetings, getting a new home group, and just trying to, because I feel like a newcomer in some areas right now. Because I've been there for 5 years where I bought a house. You know, those are some of the blessings that come with recovery, you know, and I've been there for 5 years, and I kind of still haven't got to the meetings around in my area. You know, I still travel out to other places where I know folks and they're familiar with me and where I'm comfortable at. But now I've got to change and try to find some other places, meet some new friends, and it's not easy trying to reach out, pick up the phone, because it's heavy, call some women and tell them I need some help. Because guess what? I use my job to say I'm so busy, and I really am, but at the same time I can make some time and reach out, or if somebody calls me. But I am so scared to connect with some women's right now. And then I guess what I am, I isolate in a way. I isolate, and I can isolate real well, because people think that, oh well, she shares, she does a good meeting and all that. Well, how about taking some time, and I'm sharing this to let folks, I need some people to reach out to me and help me and pull me out of where I'm at today. I need some help. I need help, and I need some people to call, because I can't do what I need to do today. And see, that's part of the problem, is that I need to let y'all know that I need some help. I ain't trying to use. And I'm saying this in closing. I had a dream, and I shared it in a meeting, but I had a dream. You know how you have drug dreams and you don't use? Well, I had a drug dream, and I was using. I was using this most stuff, looking at the carpet and looking out the window, and I mean, just doing all that stuff. I don't want to use. I just know that this disease ain't no joke, y'all. This disease wants to kill you, cripple you, blind you, or whichever. I mean, this is my life. And part of what I came to this convention for is to save my life. You know, I don't want nobody to forget why you're here, because, you know, I don't want to forget why I'm here. I came here to make some meetings, to find out some things and hear some other people share their experience, strength, and hope that I can take back with me and help me live a better life. I don't want to use today, y'all. So I don't want to forget that drugs got me here. You know? Drugs got me here. I don't want drugs to take me out of here. So please, if you see me, give me a hug. Let me know it's going to be all right. And if you have to make me talk, because it's easy for me to come in here, like I say, and do a workshop and share some things, because God will pull out what he needs to pull out. I need to thank you guys from the bottom of my heart and from my soul and my spirit for taking the time to allow me to share my experience, strength, and hope, and for listening to me. Thank you. Thanks, Narcotics Anonymous.
Okay, I'm Linda and I'm an addict. And I guess the meeting is 75 minutes, it's just 60 minutes, so we have time for open mic. And it's suggested that I tell you all that be considerate of the time. Somebody else. The meeting's still going on. It's open mic time. Somebody want to come up here and share, but please be respectful about the time, because somebody might want to come behind you. Line up in the orderly fashion.
Hi, family. My name is Lynette, and I'm an addict from Brooklyn, New York. Thank God I'm clean. Thank God for the Rooms of Narcotic Anonymous and the fellowship that teach me how this program works a day at a time. This is my first time at this convention. Thanks for both of y'all's experience, strength, and hope. I got a lot out of it. I got a lot of identification. You know, thank God for God, you know, because I wasn't planning on coming to this convention. Dang. I wasn't planning on coming to this convention, but God put people in your life for a reason, you know, and another recovering addict had asked me, did I want to come? You know, and I came to put some closure on some things that's going on in my life. You know, I have to take a look at me. You know, I came to the Rooms of Narcotic Anonymous to get better with me. You know, and I learned in the beginning, right, when situations go on in your life, right, sit still and take a look at them. And, like, I'm here to put some closure on some things in my life so I can get better with me. That's one of the old behaviors, like, that kept me, like, in some pain. You know what I'm saying? If you new and this is your first time at this convention, welcome. You know, I'm going to stay because I don't have nowhere else to go. You know, it works if you work it. Thanks for letting me share.
I'm an addict and my name is Amina. I thank God for being here today. You know, like changing old behaviors. I'm here because I feel like I really need to be here. You know, even through keep coming back, a lot of times my attitudes of indifference and my ideas is all messed up. And I, you know, and I'm still trying to get help with it. I've been writing lately again on my first step, right? And it's like really helping me. I remember looking at that first step in that workbook and it was like, I can't do this, right? But it was like, you know, like I want to change some of the behaviors that I have, because you know how you think you are right in certain behaviors, you got a lot better. And then all of a sudden out the woodworks, you be back to that real angry, resentful person. You know, like I got my own script. Like self-centeredness is the core of our disease. I got my own script. And when you're not doing things the way I think they should be, or how I think they should be, or you saying what I think you should say, a lot of times my old behaviors, they shot up, they shoot out. You know, I was sitting here in the meeting and I got a phone call. It wasn't loud, but I got it. And I went out to meeting, right? You know, and it was my old man, the day my birthday. You know what I'm saying? And I'm 50 years old today, and I feel real blessed about that. Right? And I haven't been real nice to him lately because I think he's stingy. You know what I'm saying? And I'm fully self-supporting. You know what I'm saying? I got 2 jobs. I'm a single parent. I got 1 girl. We living pretty good. I pay all my bills and all that. But I do want you to do some things. Like, I like to go out. But he called me while I was in here and said, happy birthday, right? And then he came behind that with, like, in 91, I co-signed for somebody's car. And they put a froze. I went to get some money out the bank. And my bank account is froze. I'm like, what? Look, I'm trying not to say, like, what? Right? And, yeah. You know, I had to say something. I thought the IRS and the student loan only do that. He said, well, I'm telling you that they put a froze on my bank, a lien on my bank account. I was like, all right. Because that's all I'm thinking about. Oh, it's my birthday. I already think he's stingy. Now I don't even get a present. My self-centeredness. You know what I'm saying? And I'm still listening, not really acting out on my attitude, but what I'm feeling inside. Because I'm not going to get what I want. You know, and how am I going to act when I go home? You know what I'm saying? Can I be compassionate? Because I know how I would feel if, you know, if I went home. Oh, don't get me wrong. I tried to cash my check yesterday before I got here. And the place where I work for, a big institution, nobody don't even want to cash their checks because they still bouncing all over the place. So I kind of got a feeling of what he's going through. Because when you got a big check and you can't cash it, that's not nice. You know, but I'm talking about this behavior that I got, right? Because I don't want to go home and just be ugly and indifferent. You know what I'm saying? Because at least I can pay my bills, and he's not even going to be able to pay his bills. And knowing how he's going to feel, it's not going to be so nice. And I do understand what the lady said about the time, so I'm going to be quiet. But it's a whole lot of things going on with me, and I'm just trying to get some help in here today because I don't want to be ugly with an attitude. I came down here with 14 women. And I want to be by myself. I don't want to be with none of them. It's something going on inside. There's something going on inside. You know, but I'm going to stick here and I'm going to stay here. And I'm sure not going to use a drug. I don't know about nothing else. You know what I'm saying? But I'm going to keep coming back. Thanks for letting me share.
Hi, family. My name is Mignon. I'm an addict from Fairfax, Virginia. And it's so good to be here and to be clean today. And because this is my first time being clean out of 26 years of drug use. And it just feels so good to come here and hear women like her share stuff, you know, that you swear you want to take to the grave with you. You know, to come in here and be able to be so honest about the cruddy shit that you done did in your life, you know, it makes you feel free. You know, it makes you feel like you can go on. You know, like I said, it took me 26 years to get here, and I want to stay real bad. And I know being around women like these women here, and following directions and taking suggestions, I feel like I can make it. And I want to say I'm so grateful. I'm just grateful. You know, I'm just glad to be here. And I'm glad for this meeting because I wasn't going to come in here. I had went over next door to that meeting. And I was there for a few minutes and I said, no, this is not where I need to be because I had real bad old behavior. And I thought that when I got clean, you know, I got 14 months, and I thought when I got clean, all that shit was going to just instantly disappear. Mm-hmm. You know, I thought I wasn't going to want to use men, you know, no more, and let them use me, you know, and I thought I wasn't going to get hung up still with this money thing, because I love money, you know, and I still got this thing, and I ain't going to lie, I still got a thing with a friend of mine that when he called and he said he got $200 or $300, I'm still going, you know, but I just thought all this was going to disappear. I don't go as much as I used to, but it's slowly but surely disappearing. And I know that if I stay in these rooms and open myself, I mean really open myself and be willing to accept the help that's going to be given to me, I feel like I'm going to be a better person. And thanks for letting me see it.
I'm an addict. My name is Carlene.
Hi, Carlene.
I love you, Delores.
I love you, Carlene.
This has been a real good meeting for me. Overcoming all these things. I'm nervous. Wow, I'm nervous. Just God shaking the truth out of me. You know, as I was listening to Dolores share about if nothing changes, nothing will change. You know, I remember, you know, Dolores is my sponsor. And for the first 6 years of my recovery, I kept going in and out of these rooms and could not understand why I was doing service work. You know, I was going to meetings, 2-3 meetings a day. I mean, I was doing all the things that I thought, you know, that y'all told me to do, but I couldn't stop using. And, you know, I'm really glad today that at some point a light bulb went off in my head. And I remember crying out and asking people, what the hell is wrong with me? Why can't I get this thing? Why I keep using? 6 times in 6 years I kept going in and out. And finally, somebody said, you know, when I asked what was wrong with me, they said the answer was in the steps. And I was like, damn. You know, I never did any step work. I did the 1-2-3 shuffle, is what my sponsor told me. You know, and in doing the 1-2-3 shuffle, you know, I was clean and crazy. I mean, I was doing things. I was saying things. I was acting out in an insane way, but I was clean. And when the storm came, I couldn't stay. You know, today, 2 weeks ago, I celebrated 6 years. And it's a miracle. It's a miracle because even I sometimes look back and say, damn, you know, what took so long? You know, but I'm right where I need to be today. And I thank God for the steps and a sponsor and somebody who had patience and worked with me and kept, even though I was ready to give up on me. You know, there's people in my lives who love me in spite of me, who you know, I also learned in these last couple of years, and I'm still learning, y'all. I mean, it's a process. Every day it's something new, and I'm like a baby, a sponge. I'm just soaking it all up today, you know. And I don't know, I just had to elaborate a little bit on the steps because that's where the change began for me. When I started doing the fourth step, when I started writing about it, when I started talking about it, and it's so funny because I'm right in the middle of it, and I brought it down here with me so I can continue writing on it, and I wanted to share some more with my sponsor on it and just, you know, continue in that process because I'm afraid now of getting stuck there because I did the 1-2-3 shuffle for so long, you know, it's like I'm a procrastinator. So, you know, it's like, come on, you know, I have to push myself because only I know the truth. And I know that when I started the fourth step, you know, that's just the beginning. The fifth, the sixth, I mean, there's, you know, the other steps follow. So I have to keep moving in this process. And I just wanted to tell you, I love you, Dolores. And I thank God for Narcotics Anonymous and the changes that are happening in my life.